Our podcast today is inspired by my experiences over the last couple of years with patients who come to me with various difficulties, but report as part of their history that they are themselves a collection of several personalities that know each other and take turns being at the front of their stage as if these are all characters in a theater production. This led to an interview with Dr. Paroma Mitra, which appeared in our July, August, September 2023 newsletter, which focuses on topics related to dissociative identity disorder, DID. In this podcast, we will look at DID and also think about this idea of plural identity.
Dissociative identity disorder, or DID, is a clinically significant topic which can often be misrepresented in the media. So, let's begin by defining it. Dr. Fader, what is DID?
Well, DID is a condition in which a person experiences the presence of multiple personalities within their own mind. A diagnosis of DID by DSM-5 criteria requires that a person must have at least two of these personalities. Each character has a distinct personality, memories, and way of interacting with the world. It's similar to having a group of characters sharing the stage of one's mind, and since an individual has more than one distinct personality, it's a little bit more like open mic night than a theater troupe. These performers don't know each other and steal the microphone from the current performer at times. There can be gaps in the memory and recollection of day-to-day events due to shifts in consciousness from one personality to another.
It can be challenging to maintain employment, relationships, and daily tasks due to the shifts between these multiple personalities. As you mentioned, an individual with DID may appear to have multiple personalities residing within them, each taking turns in control. They might experience memory gaps or act in ways that seem inconsistent with their usual behavior. So, the person will struggle with maintaining coherent relationships with others.
Why DID appears in a particular individual is another area of clinical interest. DID is often associated with severe childhood trauma like abuse or neglect. One theory is that the manifestation of different personalities is a way for the mind to cope with overwhelming experiences by creating these separate identities to manage the distress.
Individuals, but particularly children who have experienced trauma, may exhibit a tendency towards fantasy-based thinking, dissociation, media influence, social isolation, and therapist expectations. There is evidence to suggest that there are four primary factors that can dispose someone to DID. The first factor is how well the individual learned to dissociate. The second factor is traumatic experiences during childhood. And the third factor is a lack of stable external emotional support and validation. These three factors combine to create the fourth factor, which is the presence of independent alters with distinct names and identities.
So I've had a number of people in my career who I'm really quite convinced have had DID. For instance, I had somebody in jail who had previously been abused, and it really did seem like they were shifting between a child persona and then a more adult persona, one that was able to have a job, which they didn't do well at. And then I've had a few others who will have gaps in their memory and have these difficulties with maintaining relationships like you talked about. The people around them are kind of confused because their behavior is erratic or seems erratic, and they're behaving towards them differently at one time versus another. It's pretty confusing stuff. And a lot of our colleagues, I think, are, you know, admittedly skeptical of what DID is or where it comes from or does it even exist. But I think it's for real.
Or due to appointment schedules, might not see the same things that other people in the patient's life see on a more consistent basis.
What do you mean?
Meaning, who shows up an appointment once a month or once every 3 months is not a similar experience as someone in a consistent social relationship with that patient who shows up with different alters.
As many as 1 to 1.5% of adults have DID. And like many conditions, a proper diagnosis can be challenging, particularly as DID symptoms mimic other mental health conditions. For instance, DID may be misdiagnosed as PTSD because both conditions involve cognitive dissonance and an inability to recall certain events. During assessment, most of us often think about PTSD, and when we come to the criteria that include dissociative phenomena, we need to think about the differential diagnosis of dissociation and wonder with the patient about DID symptoms. If we suspect that the dissociation might be something different or beyond PTSD, well, then we need to try to differentiate PTSD from DID. There are some scales available to help clinicians differentiate these two. One such scale is the Dissociative Experiences Scale, which is a self-reported questionnaire of 28 items. The questionnaire primarily covers topics such as how absorbed the person is, how imaginative they are, depersonalization, derealization, and amnesia. There's another scale that we've seen called the Dissociation Questionnaire, which has 63 questions and seems to measure identity confusion and fragmentation, loss of control, amnesia, and this absorption, you know, being self-absorbed. A third one, the Difficulties in Emotion Regulation Scale, is a self-report measure with 36 items. It measures non-acceptance of emotional responses, difficulties engaging in goal-directed behavior, impulse control difficulties, and lack of emotional awareness. Other tools that might be useful in sorting out dissociative disorders versus other things include the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory and the Post-Traumatic Diagnostic Scale for DSM-5.
These scales themselves do not make the diagnosis of DID, but they help you in your clinical diagnosis, including the possibility that a person has a combination of different conditions.
Well, let's dive into treating DID. Treatment for dissociative identity disorder usually involves therapy to help the different identities integrate into one cohesive sense of self. Although medications such as mood stabilizers, antipsychotics, or antidepressants can help alleviate symptoms like depression or anxiety, there is no significant evidence to support only using medication to treat DID. We also avoid using benzodiazepines with DID, as in addition to the usual concerns with benzos such as addiction and falls and car accidents, they may contribute to comorbid mood instability, which is common in these patients along the lines of borderline personality problems.
The usual therapy for DID involves the therapist getting to know the different personalities, often called alters, learning about the history that preceded their arrival, and working to resolve past traumas so that the alters can integrate into one dominant personality. This is difficult work, and the research into the specific techniques is not generally sophisticated enough to give us clear estimates of effective size for various approaches in teens and young adults. Whether cognitive, behavioral, psychodynamic, or otherwise, research surrounding effective treatments for DID has, however, uncovered more insight into the condition. Some patients are seen as naturally hypnotic, or hypnosis may be helpful for them. They can use hypnosis to access separate alters and to work on the problems that each alter is experiencing. There's also a technique called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, which has been shown to help reduce symptoms, especially those related to mood. Any treatment for DID requires a process of finding what works best for each person.
We want to ensure our patients with DID are safe from problems that might crop up due to their symptoms. These might include not taking necessary medication because the current persona is not aware of them or not reliable. They might also be more naive or vulnerable to mistreatment, place themselves in unsafe situations, or engage in risky behaviors. Patients with DID do better with a solid support system. Our hope is to engage other people as much as possible while respecting the patient's privacy. This is often challenging with family members, teachers, and caregivers who may have very mixed or negative feelings about DID. Ideally, there are people who know what's going on and understand how stress can trigger shifts between different identities. For some patients, such as young adults living alone, community health workers might check in regularly and provide that extra layer of support and safety.
Take your time with these situations. You will see more of these if you are more aware of DID. Seek reflective support to talk over these cases. Help the patient develop stable relationships and help their family and others accept and understand what's going on. In your work with patients, take time to get to know the various alters and learn the triggers that prompt shifts between them. These are situations where our own reflective support helps us to manage the complexities of the situation and our own pre-existing ideas or biases surrounding DID.
So as I was saying earlier, I've certainly seen a few of these cases, but when you talk about 1 to 1.5%, and the idea that if we pay more attention, maybe we'll see more. I wonder, am I missing some? Do you wonder that too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not on your radar.
Yeah. You know, because this topic came up in the context of plural identity, it makes me think more about dissociative identity disorder and paying more attention to that mm-hmm. in my differential.
These days, when we talk about DID, we need to address the emerging phenomenon of plural identity. Plural identity is not recognized in the DSM-5, but is gaining popularity on social media. A TikTok community known as A System has 1.1 million followers as of 2021, with 910 million views on the hashtag DID. In plural identity or multiplicity, the alters refer to themselves as headmates or system mates. They are co-conscious of each other and generally remember the events that occur during the day. This is different from DID, when memory gaps are present. Individuals who identify as plurals claim that they can consciously switch between headmates, where in DID, switching occurs in response to a traumatic event or stressor. This allows people who identify as plurals to function in day-to-day life, work, and relationships, since there is less strongly partitioned memory.
You know, this emergence of plural identity on social media platforms is driving a growing interest in the phenomenon. Some related research exists, particularly studies on what's called internal family systems therapy, IFST. The IFST model proposes that individuals, all of us, possess different internal parts or personalities. And we talk about this in everyday life. There's a part of me that's upset. There's a part of me that's also pretty happy about this. You know what I mean? So it could be like two different people, the way IFST talks about it. The idea is that sometimes these parts are in conflict and need to be identified and helped to resolve their conflicts. So we can use this metaphor in everyday practice, right? Some of you is afraid of leaving for college. Another part of it really needs to get away from home and be independent. IFSP elaborates on this kind of thinking in a manner that conceptualizes all of us as living with an entire community or tribe of fully developed internal personas. And the research on identifying and resolving conflicts between them is actually pretty impressive, metaphor or not. These ideas make the concept of plural identity sound quite typical or even normal, despite the air of exceptionality that proponents from the plural identity community online will often exude. In any case, plural identity to these people is not a problem, but a way of being. And while families may be confused by the idea, the patients who are coming not for plural identity, but perhaps for other difficulties, such as depression, typically just want to feel understood.
What is the difference in functional impact between DID and plural identity?
That's a great question. So, I mean, the whole point of DID is that it may cause impaired function. That's the same for most DSM diagnoses. If you have symptoms, but they're not causing any impact on function, we don't really call it a disorder. But with DID, you know, with treatment, we want to foster consciousness among alters, facilitate integration into a unified whole. But individuals with plural identity perceive their alters as intrinsic to their being. They don't want to integrate them together. They get along pretty happily. They just might have depression, something like that, that they want to be treated. And so they consider this pretty functional in their daily lives. Many of these people view their plurality as a form of diversity and certainly not pathology. So to differentiate between the two, it's important to look for shared memories among the entities, which is what people typically report when they identify with plural identity. It's also good to think about whether the person is experiencing distress due to these disparate personalities, or are they content with their coexisting headmates? Assess the person's function across daily living skills, academics, and social interactions. Listen for the role of social media influence on the person's thoughts about their identity, and explore websites where the patient gets their information and support.
When assessing either of these conditions, it may be necessary to consider the dynamics within relationships, particularly familial ones. Families exhibit diverse reactions to both dissociative identity disorder, DID, and plural identity, ranging from understanding to resistance. For example, the amnesia between personalities in DID often confounds family members who may struggle to grasp the concept of identity shifts. Moreover, families may find it challenging to comprehend when individuals lack insight into their own identity transitions. In cases of plural identity, families may encounter responses reminiscent of those seen in discussions about gender diversity. Individuals embracing plural identity may use terms such as coming out and adapt alternative pronouns, introducing complexities for families as they process and accept this facet of their loved one's identity.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can read more about plural identity and dissociative identity disorder and how to navigate it in Dr. Mitra's article in our July, August, September 2023 newsletter. Hopefully people will check it out.
Everything from Carlette Publishing is independently researched and produced. There's no funding from the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes, the newsletters and books we produce depend entirely on reader support. There are no ads, and our authors don't receive industry funding. This helps us to bring you unbiased information that you can trust.
As always, thanks for listening and have a great day.